Greetings to each of you in Jesus' name this morning. Jesus, our Savior, the one who came to earth to provide salvation for us, to save us from our sins, and the one who has also gone back to heaven to prepare mansions for us that we can live in the future. How many of you this past week thought about heaven? Is anyone here that thought about heaven? A few of you. How many of you maybe thought about the fact that Jesus might be coming again, that he might come again today? How many of you had that thought go through your mind? Again, a few of you. This morning, I would like to look a little bit at what the Bible says about heaven. You know, for quite a while now, I've had a playlist of songs that I listen to occasionally, that it's songs about heaven and songs about Jesus coming again. And sometimes I listen to it a lot, and sometimes it goes several months and I don't listen to these songs. But I've just found that when I listen to songs about heaven and songs about Jesus coming again, that it's very encouraging to me. You know, sometimes life is so busy, and we get focused on the busy things of life, and to think about heaven just gets my mind off of earthly things. Sometimes life is sad or discouraging or stressful or whatever you might be facing in life. And sometimes as I face some of those things and I get out that list of songs and I listen to them, and it does a lot for me to help me keep my focus on the bigger picture of life and not just look at the things that I'm facing now today. So this morning, I'm hoping to share some of that inspiration with you. I want to look at some of what the Bible says about heaven, and also I want to take some time to sing some songs about heaven together to inspire us to keep looking up. So as we think about heaven, is heaven real? Do you believe that heaven is a real place? How many of you believe that? I think probably most of us believe that heaven is a real place that actually exists, just like things exist here today. But as I was thinking about this and pondering on it, you know, so we believe that heaven is real, but how real is heaven to us? When we think about heaven, what thoughts go through our mind? You know, for me, it's easy to just... heaven is some future thing and it's kind of fuzzy, and it is, because we don't have our minds can't comprehend it yet. I think the Bible has given us a picture to help us see heaven as real. Maybe one of the things, as heaven becomes more real to me, it's easier for me to expect to go there someday. To expect to see what the Bible says and John describes in Revelation, to go and see it for myself. And it also helps me to personally make plans to go there. Maybe digging into this a little bit more. So how many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? A couple people have been. So could you describe the Grand Canyon for me? Could you tell us what the Grand Canyon is like? Well, I suppose you probably could a little bit. You know, I've been to Yellowstone. I don't know how many of you have been to Yellowstone, and I could tell you a little bit about the sound that the geysers make when they go off, and the steam coming out of the ground. And I could describe some of the colorful mineral formations that are in some of the hot springs, and talk about the smell of sulfur that's in the air in some of those areas. But the reality is, if you want to see the Grand Canyon and know what the Grand Canyon is like, you need to go and see it for yourself. And it's the same way with Yellowstone and other of the beauties of creation that God has here on earth. Sometimes other people go and they see it and they try to describe it for us. And what we're left with after we listen to them is, what I need to do is to make plans to go and see it for myself, so that I can experience and see it for myself. And I hope that's a little bit what I inspire in you this morning as we read God's word. You see, John gives us a description of what he saw, but we have the opportunity to go and see it for ourselves. The reality is we can go to heaven. We can see the beauty and the glory. We can touch the gems. We can walk in the streets of gold. We can live in the mansions that Jesus is preparing for us. We can drink of the water of life and eat of the fruit of the tree of life. We can see God and sing praises to him and see Jesus our Savior and personally experience these things. Another illustration that I'd like to talk a little bit about. A couple of weeks ago, my dad and my brothers went up to New York City for a little day trip together, and we went to tour the Twin Tower Museum, and we went to see the Freedom Tower. Now, we got up to New York City, and it was foggy. And so you look up, and you know that there's this big, tall building that you're standing beside, but you can't see it. We could only see up, I don't know, maybe 30 stories. It wasn't very far. And later on, we went up in the tower. And so you're up there and you look out the windows. There's nothing there. It's just whiteness. It was boring. There was no beauty of looking out of those windows. And later still, we went out on the ferry over to one of the other islands and we could see the city. And you could only see just the lower parts of the buildings. And you know in the clouds there's these big, tall buildings. But they were covered with fog and we couldn't see it. And I think sometimes we're like that in our own spiritual life. Where, you know, we get busy. We have stress. We have responsibility. There's things here on earth that need done. And we can get so focused on, well, I need to do this. And tomorrow I need to do that. And I'm worried about this. And I need a plan for that. And it's almost like this fog just kind of drifts in and we don't see the beauty and the glory. We don't see heavenly things. And I just hope that as we worship together this morning and as we read the Bible and sing together, that some of that fog can blow away and we can just have a renewed focus and vision in our lives. And I need this as much as anyone else does. So looking at what the Bible says about heaven, you can turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21, the very end of our Bibles. The Apostle John tells us some about some of the things that he saw in a vision that God gave him of heaven. Just like to start reading in Revelation 21. I'm going to read all of Revelation 21 to verse 5 of Revelation 22. And it begins by saying, Revelation 21 verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And I just, as I read this passage various times, I just, a lot of questions came to my mind, things that I just don't understand how this is really going to be. But it seems like here, the current heaven, the first heaven and earth, are going to be destroyed. If we look at chapter 20, verse 11, there's a little description of this. It says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." And I don't understand how this is all going to be, but the first heaven and the first earth are going to, it says they're going to flee away from the presence of God, and that God has prepared and is a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't know that I'm going to make a lot more comment on these verses, but I just, let's read over them and let our minds wonder. And maybe it will stir your minds and you can read this passage more in the coming week. Verse 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, like unto a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, which is about 1,500 miles. And the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, which is about 216 feet, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundation of the wall of the city, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And then it lists the 12 foundations and the stones that were in each one. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each several or individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I'm not sure what all goes through your minds as we get this little bit of a picture, as John is describing something that I think is beyond our comprehension, but he's giving us a picture. God wanted John to give us a picture so that we can have a little picture and grow in our longing to go and see this place. Maybe just one comment on these verses. Verse 3, it says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." God himself shall be with them. God will dwell with his people. Today we have the presence of God dwelling in our hearts. But there's coming a day when we will actually physically dwell in the presence of God. Verse 7 says, "I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And I just was, as I thought about this, the personal, it doesn't say, "they shall be my sons." It says, "he shall be my son." And it's I think it's something that's beyond our human comprehension, that God will be a personal God to every single person. God shall wipe away the tears from each person. There's many things here that are more than our minds can comprehend. I'd just like to sing a few songs to maybe help us think a little bit more about the glory of heaven. You can turn in your songbooks to number 978. This is one of my favorite songs that talks about heaven. If you think about the words as we sing them, there's just a lot of depth in this song. Jerusalem the Golden.
So rest, I know not all.
is described when we think about heaven. Throughout the book of Revelation, there are various passages where it talks about multitudes and beings praising, giving adoration and singing, kind of a constant praise and adoration for God. And as we sang various songs this morning, this was already mentioned as we sing the song in glory. And I just want for us to turn and read some of these passages. We'll begin in Revelation chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 9 to 13. And this passage describes different groups as they praise and sing to the Most High. Verse 9 of chapter 5 in Revelation begins, "And they sung a new song." And the "they" here is the redeemed. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. And so the heavenly hosts are now praising God, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And in verse 13, it talks about every creature. "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it talks about the praise of a great multitude again. I'm going to read verses 9 to 17. "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We turn to Revelation 14, verse 3. This is the 144,000. "And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." Chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." And Revelation chapter 19, another great multitude, and it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19, verse 1, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And as I read over this and looked at this, I just get the picture that heaven is filled with the praise and adoration for God. Multitudes singing, crying with loud voices, falling down and worshiping, praising God. Just glorying at being in the presence of God. Praising him as he works and he does his work throughout the book of Revelation. Just seeing God and just the praise and adoration for him just wells out of these people. And I believe as we get a glimpse of God working and as we have God's presence dwelling in us, we should feel that same praise just welling out of us. So I have another song that I would like us to sing. You can turn to number 986. This song talks about us singing and praising God. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus.
Morning song. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll bring us a place of bliss. When we all get to heaven, what a day! What a day! What a day!
One of the other glories that we have to look forward to when we get to heaven is that we will be given new bodies. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 53, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Philippians 3, 20 and 21, "For our conversation," or our citizenship, "is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." In 1 John 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So these verses talk about us being changed and having new bodies. What will these new bodies be like? I don't think the Bible really tells us, at least not that I could find. Will we be able to fly with our new bodies? When we think about the height of the city being 1,500 miles, how will we travel around the city? What will we be able to do with our new bodies? I don't know, but the Bible says we will be changed. And it says that we will be like Jesus. We will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we can let our minds maybe wonder a little bit about what all that will be like. But it's something we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait to see what our new bodies will be like. So maybe switching gears a little bit as we've looked at heaven and the glory and the mansions that Jesus is preparing for us, what should our response be? And as I was thinking a little bit about this, you know, this past week, Friday was July the 4th, a day when our country celebrates independence and the national pride runs high. Do our hearts go along with that? Do we feel pride in our nation? Where are our hearts and our allegiance? Is the good old USA our home? Or are we really looking for a better country? And I hope that as we looked at the Bible and as we've gotten a glimpse of heaven, that it reminds us that this world is not our home. Our real home is the one that Jesus is preparing for us. And I hope that as we've looked at this, that you all found yourselves growing a little bit more discontented with the good life that we seem to be enjoying here in America, and that you've been reminded again to seek for a better country. You know, just allow yourself to get homesick for heaven. The Bible talks a little bit about people that are seeking another country. Familiar verses in Hebrews 11. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." And in a way this morning, we're just seeing glimpses of heaven from far away. But just like the heroes of faith, can we be persuaded of them, embrace them, and confess that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth? For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 12. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And 1 Peter 3. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. One of the songs that I have on my playlist goes like this. This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, I don't always feel that way, but it's something that I want to grow in my heart, a longing for heaven and a discontentment for the life that I'm living here in this world. Let's turn to number 983. I think we'll just take time for the first and last verse. Just over yonder.
Oh, just over yonder, beyond the river. Thank you.
couple more verses yet. We've been thinking about heaven, but we also need to remember the promise that when Jesus left, he promised that he will come again. 1 John 14:1-3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The chorus of another one of the songs that I have in that playlist goes like this. What a beautiful day for my Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for him to take his children home. How I long to see his face and to touch his nail-scarred hands. What a beautiful day for my Lord to come again. And I want that to be a prayer in my heart every day, that every day would be a beautiful day for Jesus to come again. In closing, I would like to read the last verses of Revelation chapter 22. I read to verse 5. I would like to read the rest of the chapter. And I just want us to notice, in this passage, Jesus is saying different times, I'm coming. I come quickly. Revelation 22, verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he said unto me, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So as we looked at what the Bible said this morning about heaven, I hope heaven has become a little bit more real to you. I hope that you have found some of the fog of earthly things has been blown away, and that you've had a little bit of a renewed vision in life. Has your longing to go to heaven and experience the glory of heaven been strengthened? Do you long to stand before the throne and sing and shout praises to God? Is your heart saying, even so come, Lord Jesus? Let's kneel to pray.